Okay, Isaiah chapter 45. We talked about the beginning of this chapter as we ended last week, and some quote-unquote Bible scholars have thought that this last verse of chapter 44 should have been the first verse of chapter 45. So we will read it that way. I'm going to start on 28. It is I who says of Cyrus, he is my shepherd. He will perform my desire. And he declares of Jerusalem, she will be built. And of the temple, your foundation will be laid. Okay, and like I said, we hit on this last week. As Isaiah quoted this from the Lord, and as writers wrote it down, do you think it was a little strange when he's talking about a guy that's 200 years later than you know? You hear this, you know, it would be like going in there this afternoon and Christian mentioning some name, and everybody look around. Well, who in the world is Cyrus? You know, they have no idea. We're going to get into this a little farther, and we're going to find out that at this time, Babylon was not even that strong of a country. They weren't to be feared. They were still building, if you will, and the Lord was, it's tough to say, the Lord was blessing them so that they could be the ones that take over Israel and will punish them. But Cyrus, their king, and not the next king, of course, like I said, 200 years in advance. Thus says the Lord to Cyrus, his anointed. Okay, this is, again, this is somebody who is going to be king of the country that takes over Israel. And God is calling him his anointed. He's not calling him one that I will use, but he's calling him his anointed, and he's saying, you know, and Isaiah is saying, and Cyrus will, you know, will be a shepherd. He will perform all God's desires. This is back in 28, and he declares Jerusalem, she will be built, and the temple, your foundation, will be laid. And thus says the Lord, Cyrus, his anointed, whom I have taken by the right hand to subdue nations before him, and loose the loins of kings to open doors before him, so that gates will not be shut. Would you say Cyrus is probably going to be blessed when he's born? But think about all the things that need to happen. I don't know exactly how Cyrus acquired his kingship, if you will. I mean, I know God ordained it and God pushed it through. But all the kings before him were not good kings. They didn't care about Israel. And, you know, Nebuchadnezzar, he took them in and held them. But now Cyrus is going to be somebody who's coming after Nebuchadnezzar. And he's going to be God's man who allows Israel to go back and rebuild. I had to look up J. Vernon McGee's idea on this yesterday afternoon when I was sitting at the nursing home. And he said, think about it this way. He said, if Cyrus was mentioned, and none of these people are going to be alive that when it was mentioned, but it's going to be in the history books of who Cyrus is. They're going to see that 200 some years later, Israel is going to go into captivity and then be released to go back and rebuild Jerusalem, lay the foundation for the temple. Then why wouldn't it be true what Isaiah says when we first started this, that Jesus Christ was coming? And that's probably, I think, if I remember right, 700 years later that Jesus will be coming before this time of Isaiah. So he's written all this, and, you know, and maybe, you know, maybe J. Vernon's right. Maybe it's only to say listen, what I say is going to happen will happen. Or it's because, you know, Cyrus was one that needed to be there. He says, and two, I will go before you and make the rough places smooth. I will shatter the doors of bronze and cut their iron bars, and I will give you the treasure of darkness and hidden wealth of secret places in order that you may know that it is I, the Lord, the God of Israel, who calls you by your name. Okay, I wished I had brought in some paper. You know, I know you missed Bob passing out papers, but I was only going to bring in small pieces of paper and just for fun, send it around and see how many would say, yeah, the king of Babylon's going to be there in heaven when I get there. I kind of believe he is because of this. He's the anointed. The only one that's ever been the anointed is the Lord Jesus Christ, besides Cyrus. So I truly believe God is going to use him, and Cyrus will be one of them that's there in heaven. I don't know how I'll pick him out, but I truly believe he'll be there.
Was he a Chaldean?
Yeah. That used to be my favorite thing. It was Ur of the Chaldees. Okay, for the sake of Jacob, my servant, which is going to be Israel, the southern kingdom, and Israel, my chosen one, I have also called you by your name. So that says... Also, 200 years from now, there's going to be a guy born, they're going to call him Cyrus. It's not going to be a name change or anything according to this. It's going to be Cyrus, and people are going to know exactly who he is. For the sake of Jacob, Israel, you also call him, I will give you a title of honor, king, if you will, though you have not known me. So, how many? Go ahead, Tom.
I think in either Ezra and Nehemiah, it says where Cyrus was shown this. He had never heard of it before.
Well, yeah.
He was shown this.
We talked about the abortion issue on there. You wonder if God knew Cyrus before he was born. Did he know every one of us and every baby before?
Yes. Yes.
So think about that, if you would. But though you have not known me. Of course, Cyrus wasn't born; he couldn't know anything yet. But he said, "I'm there before you are. I am the Lord, and there is no other besides me. There is no God. I will gird you." Though you have not known me, the men may know from the rising and the setting of the sun that there is no one besides me. I am the Lord, and there is no other. The one forming light and creating darkness, causing well-being and creating calamity. I am the Lord who does all of these. Yep. But you got to remember what we've been, if you will, hitting at has been the idol worship. And God is, he's saying, listen, if I can do this, if you will, 200 years down the road, why couldn't I do it 700 more when the Lord comes, or each thing that I predicted? Like I said, Babylon isn't even much of a country right now.
Children day and night, what was happening, and to not forget the Lord. And even though these people may all be gone, they will all be gone, but if they follow that instruction, generations later, the children will be able to say, it really happened. This is the power of God.
I think one of the writers that I looked up, he listed it as the learned Israelites will know this was true.
Right.
Because this has been passed. I think I said learned it, Israelites.
It would be impressive. for them to be able to say the Lord knew this, that this was going to happen and it come to fruition, you know.
And do you go all the way back to the beginning of Isaiah? And like I said, all that he's predicted, the Lord Jesus Christ coming and everything that's going to happen. And I realize Cyrus is going to get there before the Lord does in man's time. Are they going to look back and say, well, if he was right about that, could he be right? You know, he's right about this. Well, now he's saying, listen, I am going to... He's not saying it in exactly these words, but he's saying, I am going to have you, Israel, because of your idol worship and because you're not trusting in me, you are going into captivity. And I've got a country that's going to have you there. And I've got kings that are going to be over you, and it's not going to be a fun place to be. It's not 70 years of vacation. And I've got a king that's going to say, hey, you've been held long enough. The Lord told me to open these gates and let you go home. I, of course, our country hadn't been around that long, but I don't know of any predictions about our country that, other than the Lord Jesus Christ. So God is going to, if you will, expand on his power. It says, drop down, O heavens, from above. Let the clouds pour down righteousness. Let the earth open up and salvation bear fruit and righteousness spring up with it. I, the Lord, have created it. No idols, no nothing else. Only I, God, have done this. I, the Lord. As Bob said, we could have gone back here and underlined, I am the Lord, I the Lord, all the times that we're in here. Okay, I want you to notice this part. And this is a warning to not just Israel, but to every human being, and especially to those that believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and have been saved. Woe to one who quarrels with his maker. An earthenware vessel among the vessels of the earth, will the clay say to the potter, what are you doing? Or the thing that you are making say to you, he has no hands? In other words, these idols are not going to be anything. I did want to look up one verse here, beginning of Isaiah chapter 1, verse 18. And he tells these, you know, this is one of Isaiah's early statements. Come now and let us reason together. Thus says the Lord, though your sins are scarlet, they will be as white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, they will be like wool. So way back then, Isaiah had promised this, and God had promised this through Isaiah to the Israelites. And what did he say? Woe is the one who quarrels with the maker. McGee said, let's settle this out of court. Because only the Lord Jesus Christ can cover your sins and turn them white as wool. Woe to him who says to a father, what are you begetting? Or to a woman, to what are you giving birth? You could kind of read that and say, well, is it going to be a boy or a girl? But I think it means they're not going to have a giraffe.
It's got to be one or the other.
It's got to be a baby. Yeah, it's not. What are you having? And it's going to be a baby. One of Israel and his makers asked me about the things to come according to my sons. You shall commit to me the work of my hands. It is I who made the earth and created man upon it. I stretched out the heavens in my hands, and I ordained all their host. Now, I don't know a lot of astrology, but according to what I've read, now I'm not saying this is, I stretched out the heavens with my hands. Supposedly, and I don't have any way of justifying this, the heavens are continually expanding. Science says that. What did he say here? I stretched out the heavens with my hands, and I ordained all their hosts. I personally hope he means stars and suns and all, not aliens, but he may. I have no way of proving that. Earth created him in heavens and I ordained all. I have aroused him in righteousness, and I will make all his ways smooth. He will build my city, and he will let my exiles go free without any payment or reward. Thus says the Lord of hosts. In other words, this is grace. It's not that the Israelites could have saved up enough money and bought their way out of Babylon. There is no way that could have happened. Only a king could have opened the gates and said, go home and rebuild. And God says, I ordained that. I made the way smooth. And of course, he's talking about Cyrus. I've aroused him with righteousness. I will make all his way smooth. He will build my city and will let my exiles go free without payment or reward. Thus says the Lord of hosts. In other words, my grace is sufficient. Thus says the Lord, the products of Egypt and the merchandise of Cush and the Sabian men of stature will come over to you and will be yours. They will walk behind you. They will come over in chains and will bow down to you. They will make supplication to you. Surely God is with you, and there is none else, no other God.
So is that an antitype to Christ?
Some of the writers call him, how'd they put that? Humanistic Christ. I can't remember exactly the term that they use, but yeah, this is a precursor to Christ Jesus. There is no doubt about that. But just think about what he's doing to a man that had no upbringing other than what rubbed off from the Israelites to him, to understand that there was a God, because they had many gods, and that he could trust in him and all of a sudden know that God was blessing him to do these things.
And back, going back to 13, verse 17, it says, behold, I am going to stir up the Medes against them.
Mm-hmm.
And so, I mean, you could have wrote the story before it ever did happen. Yeah,
several or a couple centuries beforehand.
Yeah.
I don't know any better way to explain this other than it's God's grace. God said it, and I believe it. I have no way of saying, well, Cyrus came up through a lineage of great Bible scholars or whatever, and God said, well, he's going to be a good one, I guess, so I'm going to bless him. No, God knew this before it happened, way before it happened, at least to us, way before it happened. It's probably half a second to God, but it.
Tim, what you just said about God did, and God said it, and I believe it. What you remind me of is Brother Doug, when we used to teach our kingdom building class, he would say, God said it, and that's the way it's going to be.
Well, you know, we as human beings, we as human beings want that explained to us somehow. Yeah. We have to, because of our minds, our finite minds, I guess I'd say, we can't understand the infinite things of God. We have to trust and obey, if you will. There's no other way we can sing that song. But anyway, that is what it is. That's the same truth that is taught to these kids down this hallway, the same truth that's taught to the next class and the high school and middle school kids down the other hallway, that God is grace. If we don't believe that, and then we have to go to one of these other religions that say, I can buy my way in, I can work my way in. But none of the other religions, as I said a couple weeks ago, have salvation. They have ways of working your way to heaven, but they do not promise salvation. And I know, well, I'm a long way from being an expert on the Mormon religion, but I was in discussions with my aunt. She was very, very much Mormon and truly believed that when Aunt Sally died, that they could bring her to a higher level by praying, giving, working, and all this, so Sally could maybe get to another level of heaven.
After she died.
Yeah, oh yeah. Like I said, I'm a long way from being an expert, but that's what she would always tell me. She said, it's not over when you die. She said, you know, but if you think about it, and I don't know how many had Catholic backgrounds. There's, can you pray somebody out of that or pay somebody out of that? You know, there's nothing anywhere in this Bible that I have that I know I can tell you that, yeah, they could got this mixed up or whatever. No. And when God is saying, I'm going to ordain this man 200 years down the road, and he's going to do these things, and now we're on this side of history, and we can see all those things happened, and the Israelites can see all those things happened. We go back to God said it, and I believe it. Go ahead,
Tom. It would be interesting to go back and read Nebuchadnezzar's dream and how it was interpreted about which peoples were going to come after him. See where this Cyrus fit into that dream.
Mm-hmm.
And this is something God, you know, shares with me, like when I read this, when God says, who, you know, who are we to argue with God? This is how he convicts me. Who are we, the anointed in Christ, to argue with God that we must confront the darkness in the minds of unbelievers with the truth of Christ? It's like that is a charge, you know, a command. And
yep.
I just feel convicted all the time about that.
Okay.
I've got you.
Go ahead.
We went to China and we saw the terracotta soldiers. Now, do you realize that that king believed that he was going to go to afterlife and take his army with him? That's why he did that? It's unbelievable to see all that.
Yeah, and as we get into later in this chapter and chapter 46, we're going to see where God's going to God's going to ridicule the idols. You know, he tells them later on, he says, you build these things and they're so big, you got to throw them on your shoulder to carry them around. He said, your God carries you. Think about it. 15, truly, thou art a God who hides himself, O God of Israel's Savior. They will be put to shame and even humiliated, all of them. The manufacturers of idols will go away together in humiliation. Israel has been saved by the Lord with an everlasting salvation. You will not be put to shame or humiliated for how long? To all eternity. Okay, if you want to argue this point, I don't know how you could, but if you want to argue this point, we'll go back and argue a couple other points. Just in Isaiah. Isaiah predicted, or said, the Lord is going to bring Emmanuel, God with us, into this life. And it happened. God said this, what we're on right now, Cyrus is going to be born 200 years from now, and he's going to be a king of Babylon that is going to open the gates and release the people that wanted to go back. And they're going to build the foundation of the temple. But now all of a sudden, some people want to argue with this, that God didn't really mean Israel has been saved by the Lord with an everlasting salvation. It will not be, you will not be put to shame or humiliated to all eternity. Well, we know that hasn't happened because the world has come against Israel more than any other country, and it's still going to happen in the end times. But God said it, an everlasting salvation to Israel. For thus says the Lord who created the heavens, He is the God who formed the earth and made it. He established it and did not create it a waste place, but formed it to be inhabited. I am the Lord, and there is none else. I have not spoken in secret in some dark land. I did not say to the offspring of Jacob, seek me in a waste place, and I, the Lord, speak righteousness, declaring things that are upright. Gather yourselves and come. Draw near together, you fugitives of the nations. They have no knowledge, who carry about their wooden idols and pray to a God who cannot save. Declare, set forth your case. Indeed, let them consult together, who has announced this from of old, who has long since declared it. Is it not I, the Lord? There is no other God besides me. Besides me, a righteous God and a Savior, there is none except me. And here's your chance at salvation. Turn to me and be saved, all the ends of the earth. I am God and there is no other. I have sworn by myself, the words have gone forth from my mouth in righteousness, and you and will not turn back. That to me every knee will bow, every tongue will swear allegiance, confess. They will say to me, only in the Lord are righteousness and strength. Men will come to him, and all who are angry at him shall be put to shame. In the Lord all the offspring of Israel will be justified and will glory. Okay, as I was reading that, something came to me here. It says, gather yourself. I have not spoken in secret in some dark land. I couldn't help but think of Joseph Smith and the plates that he found. That he read them, and then they lost them, and he's going to tell you what they said. You know, it was some dark secret that only he had. But think how, I don't even know the thousands and thousands of people that he fooled with that, and then it was passed down generation to generation, and it's never happened to the things that he said, other than people came to it and were fooled, you know, as God says right here. I've got a couple of minutes. I don't want to start on Babylon yet, but you got to remember, okay, first we were talking about a Savior coming, and that's back in the early part of Isaiah. And in here this week, we're talking about Cyrus, who's going to be coming. Well, as I said, Babylon was not even a strong nation at this time. It was not somebody that they feared. And he's going to talk about Babylon's and the idols and the true God, that I truly believe God gave them a chance to turn. Babylon. I don't believe he had them written off before it started. He sent the Israelites in there to show that there was a God, and you didn't have to. Later on, he's got names here of Bel and Nebo. Bel has bowed down, Nebo stoops over. Their images are consigned to the beast and the cattle, and things that you carry are burdensome, a load for the weary beast. Bel, or Baal, or Beelzebub, is who he's talking about here. And Nebo was I'm trying to think what...
the God of learning.
Yeah, well... Do I?
Nebo was another name for, was the god of Mary, but he was the son of Marduk, who was another name for Baal. So he was Baal's
B-O-E-T-H. I don't know where it's at, but I believe this. I'll have to go find it.
Yeah, I've never wanted to study idols myself, but but you think of all the things that happened to her, and like I said, I got a couple of minutes, and we'll talk about Babylon. Babylon was, at the time they took Israel in, the strongest nation in the world. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. They were there. The Assyrians took the northern kingdom. And so, but at this time, as I said, they are not really known as something big, as something strong. But we're going to talk about what they did. Okay, they built the hanging garden. I don't know all the beautiful things that were built in Babylon. And what did the kings or priests or whatever tell them? Well, it was Bel and Nebo that did those things to you. That's who you should be worshiping. And I like that God of knowledge, because it goes back to human beings. We want to, other than our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, want answers. I don't care who you are. You question things in your life from time to time and said, oh, if I'd have just trusted God in that, I wouldn't have stumbled or whatever it was that happened. So he's proven the opposite of these idols, God has. And we still question from time to time. We still say, well, God, we need answers. Why did that happen? Well, these people are going to wait 200 years before they ever see this guy Cyrus come out here, and we're saying, well, how come it rained yesterday? It shouldn't, you know, whatever. We question whatever. I've already said, I don't think I could have made it during the great flood, because I'm already tired of rain we're getting. It's only an inch at a time or whatever. But, you know, it's not the right time of year, according to me. So anyway, let's go to the Lord in prayer. We'll look at Babylon next week. Father God in heaven, we come to you now. Father, we thank you for the promises that, Father, we can stake our lives on. Father, that you have promised, you have delivered, and, Father, we can see each thing, each step of the way through here, things you promised. It's not an accident. It's not by luck, but, Father, it's by your decree, and you tell us. Only through you can we be saved. And, Father, through you, you gave us Jesus Christ, Emmanuel, God with us. And we give you praise and thanks that we could be part of your family. And, Father, we thank you that you love us and your watch care over us. In Jesus' name, amen.